Hey, this is Gunsully, and this is the first podcast. This is a follow-up Friday, and I'm going to be dealing with some of the fallout that's been going on in the federal government. Because today, Friday, January 6th, they officially elected Donald Trump as the president of the United States of America. Now, this is a serious issue because everybody didn't want this to happen. Nobody wanted this to happen. Well, there's all sorts of protests going on. Hollywood did some sort of begging Congress not to do this, and they keep trying to do all these different videos that all look similar where they're like saying, "Don't do this. Stop. Save us." And, you know, I get that people are passionate about this, but the thing that really bugs me is the rush to let's go to war with Russia, the recycling of Cold War era propaganda, the anti-Russia stuff. And I'm not saying that Russia doesn't hack. Russia does hack, but ow. I smashed myself. Russia does hack, but so does China. So does our allies. We hack our allies. We wiretap Germany. We do all sorts of stuff. And for us to act like Russia is somehow the only thing that exists in the world of spying and hacking, and for us to think that they are what caused Hillary to lose the election is just on its face silly. So I'm just going to run through the top 10 reasons Hillary lost. And no, none of them are Russia. Establishment Democrats and warmonger Republicans are beating the war drums. Why? Well, obviously, Hillary should have won. But since she didn't, it clearly must have been the fault of scary, scary foreigners. War is clearly now our only option because we're Americans, damn it. We can't just let scary foreign people get the best of us. We believe in xenophobia and patriotism. Propaganda. That's what we believe in. Hate Trump and fear Russia. So if you're smart enough to buy that that's stupid and you actually want to take a closer look at this, we are going to do the post-mortem of the election that the Democrats will never do because they are beating the propaganda crazy war drums against Russia, and they are not going to ever take a close look at what they did wrong in this past election. So here we go. Number 10 is Hillary's unfavorables, or unfavorables. Unfavorables. She had very high people not likey. They didn't like her as a person. She was not likable. They also didn't trust her. That was a huge thing that she had on the, like, unfavorable polls, was she was a liar. She would just... Okay, Hillary Clinton started her primary campaign with a few serious likability and trust issues. The majority of American people have never looked at Hillary as an honest person that sincerely cares about her constituents. Hillary was known for exaggerating and sometimes completely lying just to make herself look better, whether she's stealing some valor by dodging sniper fire or just padding her resume by being in Manhattan on 9/11/2001. Hillary was known for being dishonest, a dishonest establishment politician. And don't take my word for it. Look at some of the polls, links on the website. Number 9, Hillary's email server. Now, I know you're thinking, emails, but I thought you weren't going to talk about the Russian hack. But I'm not talking about the Russian hack. I'm talking about the email server. This was a pretty big deal for people who were paying attention to the story, which if you're a diehard Dem, you're probably not paying attention to it. You're probably thinking this is another witch hunt and not paying attention to the fact that she did something that other people who were not as rich as her, not as famous as her, and not as white as her, got literally thrown in jail or given hard probation for years and years for doing the crimes that she totally got away with. She totally skated for. And another huge issue is on the topic of the hacks. Hillary was given basic security protocol to follow. And by flagrantly not following it, she waived her right to basic security. I don't normally like to think that way, but if somebody says, do A, B, and C, never do X, Y, and Z, and she says, F you, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, you kind of get what happens. You put your stuff out there in a way that it can be easily accessed by people who know what they're doing. So she used her own private server and instructed her staff to conduct classified business with her over her private network. Not only did this open up her network, private correspondences, and classified information to real hackers from several different countries, not just Russia, but it also fostered a culture of nonchalance toward IT security. It was this culture of InfoSec apathy that led to the largest breach in U.S. history, the OPM hack, the Office of Personnel Management hack, which affected a lot of people, including me. I got the cute little letter up on the fridge that is telling me that I get some free credit monitoring because of Hillary Clinton and her gang not protecting my stuff properly. Well, if you don't know what that is, I'm sorry, your candidate lost, and there's another link for you on the website to explain this. Number 8, the Clinton Foundation. Not many Americans can relate to a famous millionaire with a multi-billion dollar family foundation behind them. And yes, I'm talking about Hillary, not Trump. The Clinton family, it was known for raising millions of dollars and for relatively nebulous reasons, or with a less than A-plus result. Hillary tried to campaign as an underdog, just a girl taking on a big bully man. But it didn't sell because not only is she rich, she's famous, and her family's foundation is wildly connected to leaders from all sorts of foreign entities. Trump also had billions of assets, but Trump didn't call himself broke like Hillary did. Instead, he ran on a populist message of, I've succeeded, so can you. Instead of Hillary's bizarre message of condemning white privilege and the super wealthy, as if she's a card-carrying member of the black nationalist movement or some sort of working poor immigrant. If it definitely didn't come across as believable to the undecided voters. Bigger Clinton Foundation scandals didn't help as well. Former President Bill Clinton raised boatloads of cash from places around the world that many times had very bad human rights records. Sort of hard to pretend to be an everywoman when you've got money flowing in from chauvinistic totalitarian countries. Similarly, it's hard to be a convincing voice for the LGBTQ community with money flowing in from countries that literally have the death penalty for gays. The Clinton Foundation wasn't one of the selling points for her. Number 7 is Hillary's creepy staff. Hillary's inner circle wasn't based on output or product like the inner circles of other presidential campaigns. She had strange loyalties and controversial figures that some people found, and that loyalty was something that some people found endearing, but others found just flat out creepy. Huma Abedin, Sidney Blumenthal, John Podesta, and Cheryl Mills could do no wrong, and no matter how many slip-ups, leaks, breaches, personal scandals, and even criminal investigations, these guys would never get replaced or even reprimanded. Creepypasta Podesta was a perfect example of the lax information security culture surrounding Hillary Clinton, with his password at one point being password and opening a phishing email. Huma Abedin is married to Anthony Weiner, and his scandal-ridden life haunted Huma while she worked for Hillary Clinton in all her facets. And yet that didn't stop her from doing Hillary's campaign and assistant work from home with her creepy hubby. Sidney Blumenthal is a self-hating Jew who promotes his son's anti-Israel writings. Sid Blumenthal was such an overt radical that Obama actually told Hillary not to hire him. And if Obama doesn't like someone for being a left-wing radical, that's really saying something. Number 6, her attack on the Second Amendment. Gun grabber rhetoric has always been the backbone of a, quote, liberal Democrat in their campaigns, even if they don't really do much of anything to restrict gun rights in their term. See the presidency of Barack Obama. Hillary went a little too far when she repeatedly demonized the world's largest gun safety organization, the NRA, as being enemies of the United States, listing them alongside terrorists. Did you laugh at the gun safety line? It's actually true. They're not just a gun lobby. They actually literally support gun safety and proper gun use around the country and set the safety standard for the world. The NRA does not and never has supported the illegal use of firearms, and demonizing them rubbed a lot of undecided voters the wrong way. Number 5. Her war on the First Amendment. This one is a little bit more nuanced, and only media savvy people really got this. Hillary Clinton wanted to end Citizens United, which she would say in speeches as if it was racist or violent. The Citizens United decision, which was protected as a First Amendment, basically stated that a group could have a voice in government or lobbying instead of just rich or very well connected individuals. It honestly was a decision that gave or that provided more options for people to interact with the government, but it wasn't an option that she needed. Since she was rich and well-connected, therefore, Citizens United is only for others, and in the world of politics, others are competition. Her plan to eliminate Citizens United was just a plan to handicap future political threats to her guaranteed rule. Something that kept her out of the White House, number 4, Barack Obama's legacy / Obamacare. One of the best things that happened to the Trump campaign was President Barack Obama taking the stump for Hillary Clinton. Obama's legacy was what he plugged, promising Hillary would continue his great work on his behalf. Then, right before the election, Obamacare implodes. The average Joes and average Janes have their insurance bills skyrocket. So a lot of people having their lives negatively and directly affected by Obama saw Obama begging them to proxy vote for him through her not as a good deal. I feel like even though that's 4, that should be higher on the list. That was a massive, massive news issue. If you could prove to me that Russia did that, I'd think you have something with Russia. Number 3, Hillary's foreign policy. We stand with the protesters, something Hillary said, supporting the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, Jamaat Islamia, and Ansar al-Sharia in North Africa. Very strange behavior that got us into bombing campaigns around the Muslim world. Hillary Clinton had all sorts of chummy relationships with terror-supporting Muslim leaders and hyper-conservative Muslim dictators, from the head of the Muslim Brotherhood, Mohammed Morsi, to the Sultan of Brunei, and everyone in between. The sad side effect of her warmongering is the destabilization of Syria, Iraq, Yemen, and worst of all, Libya. Hillary laughed about right-wing rebels that she had supported murdering Muammar Gaddafi without trial in the streets, and then turned a blind eye to the fact that those same, quote, freedom fighters ethnically cleansed the country of historic pre-Islamic Christian populations and Jewish communities. Their blood is on her hands, and anyone who truly follows world news knows it. It's hard to overlook that, and thus a lot of protest voters were born. Hillary even repeatedly stated that no American died in Libya. Here's a quote, one of Hillary's quotes on Libya. After due diligence, we came up with a way of supporting their efforts that didn't cost a single American life. So was she delusional? Did she forget that her decimation of an entire country's infrastructure to kill their dictator led to the empowered militias murdering Ambassador Stevens and 3 brave U.S. veterans? Well, history has shown us that no matter why she said those ridiculous statements in defense of her terrible interventionist policy, the undecideds didn't buy it. Number 2, the number 2 reason why she did not get the presidency is the campaign. her campaign was bad. Huma and Hillary did not campaign as hard as Kellyanne Conway and Donald Trump did. It's true. You have to admit that. Kellyanne attacked the Electoral College like a U.S. wartime general, finding all vulnerable spots to target and seize control of. Hillary, on the other hand, assumed that all registered Democrats would vote for her, all gays and lesbians would vote for her, all blacks and other minorities would vote for her, and definitely all women would vote for her. They discounted all criticism from minorities, from female authors and activists, from LGBTQ rights activists. Hillary's record, though, hasn't been stellar with all these groups. Black Lives Matter supporters turned on her as surfaced comments from the 90s supporting the Bill Clinton crime bill went viral. She had modern feminists going at her for how she stuck up for Bill Clinton's not just mistresses, but also Bill Clinton's allegations of sexual assault, meaning she was literally defending sexual assault and not believing every woman, which is something she said every woman should be believed. Also, the LGBTQ community, she adamantly stated that marriage was between a man and a woman. Her old quotes were going viral, and she was getting very testy about being questioned on her new pro-LGBTQ rights stances. One of the most damning revelations that hurt Hillary had nothing to do with the emails and had to do with equal pay for women, which was a hot button issue. Government tax documentation showed that when Hillary had higher fire authority over staff, she typically continued the age-old practice of paying women less than men, then hypocritically ran as a champion for equal pay. The campaign not only had a shallow, hypocritical message, and I would like to clarify that's fact, not opinion, that her campaign had shallow, hypocritical messages, but it was also lethargic and unorganized. Huma and Mills failed to act as strategically as Conway in every sense. They did not take polls seriously. They didn't read the tea leaves or gauge the winds. Trump's campaign did. They held several rallies a week, while Hillary would take weeks off at a time. So yes, blacks and women, you monolithic hive minds, vote for Hillary. You know, that lady that talked about you 2 weeks ago. Oh, that didn't work? Shocking. Elements of Hillary's campaign were damaged by her and her inability to appear sincere and cordial. The infamous deplorables line caused an uproar, but it was hardly a deviation from her divisive rhetoric and generalizing. She described police as terrorists while pandering to blacks, assuming all blacks were pro-crime and anti-police. So why shouldn't she be just as blanket comment throwing at her political enemies? Makes sense when you really think about it. Still was not a great idea. That still goes back to point 10, with the whole likability issue. And to continue on that, her presence in the campaign had a big problem, and that was her ability to smile. She had two smiles. One was pretentious, and the other was family photo phony. No independent took her seriously as a happy, fulfilled, or balanced person. Her campaign was a mess. You need to admit that if you were a Democrat. You need to realize how bad her campaign was. Otherwise, the Democrats will try to put someone like her, or heaven forbid, her, up as a presidential candidate again in 2020. Number one reason why Hillary Clinton is not the president-elect are the Bernie-crats. Did you feel the burn? No, not even a little? Well, then you're either a Republican or you probably think that Russia stole the election. If you were a Bernie Sanders supporter, you would know that the Democrat Party flipped you a massive bird. even before the DC leaks documents were released that exposed DNC chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz was rigging the system against Bernie for Hillary, even before that, Bernie organizers saw the shady and hypocritical behavior of the establishment in real time. Bernie, like Trump, would consistently campaign with rallies filling stadiums. Yet, when the election would roll around, Hillary would likely win. How could this happen? Basically, real-time gerrymandering of Democratic voting areas. Bernie-heavy voting areas would have their voting booths shut down and would be consolidated to just one or two voting areas for about 12,000 people. Bernie supporters didn't have to see DC leaks to show them that the DNCCC was conspiring with state and local establishment Democrats to elect Hillary. There are some incredible videos of lines outside of the polling places going for a mile, like serpentine in a parking lot outside of the school where the people are trying to vote, because they had intentionally handicapped the electoral groups near schools, near college campuses, where they knew there would be Bernie Sanders supporters. It's pretty shocking. And yeah, following the Bernie campaign, yeah, they didn't need DC leaks to let them know that the Dems were out for Bernie. So that being the case, true believers in Bernie and in the Bernie Sanders message of liberal populism, they were forced to face the Democrat National Committee as an adversary. And this led to many true revelations against the establishment. Leaks from within Democrat establishments started to happen, and no, it wasn't Russia, it was Democrats, disenfranchised by their own party's establishment. The ensuing infighting showed a visible rift between the old and the new thought process in the Democrat Party. And this was validated. This is not me just coming up with a theory, or this isn't my Bernie friends and Bernie groups coming up with a theory. This is 100% validated because the establishment Democrats in Hollywood tried to do a campaign to get the Electoral College voters to change their votes. And they were just asking for just 36 people to vote your conscience of the Republican voters, hoping that 36 people would change their vote to something else, and then Hillary would win. But only 3 changed their vote from Trump, but 5 Hillary voters changed their vote from Hillary because they lost faith. Even though there was a campaign to hopefully get Hillary elected, 5 Hillary voters voted against her for other more liberal causes. It just showed a visible and tangible proof that the rift in the Democrat Party was real, that the Democrat Party disenfranchised its youth voters, they disenfranchised their liberal voters by putting up somebody who really didn't believe in any of the true causes that she was up there for. And they need to stop this. I mean, if they don't put Tulsi Gabbard up in 2020, we're going to see Trump for 8 years. And that's it. If they try to put Hillary up in 2020, we're just going to see this happen again. And just ask yourself, as a Democrat, it wasn't Russia. If it was Russia, Hillary still won the popular vote, okay? So the people who are going to vote for Hillary voted for Hillary. She just didn't campaign to the Electoral College. And you need to come to terms with that. You got to get this creepy bunch of Hillary supporters out of the inner circle of the Democrat Party. And otherwise, you're not going to win elections anymore. It's just going to be loudmouths like Trump winning elections. And that's it. That's it. That's all we'll get. And so I guess it's sort of my, like, stop saying it's Russia, because that's silly. You're childish if you say that. But you're also kind of, this is my, like, homage to Carrie Fisher here. Like, help us, Democrat Party. You're our only hope. We need you to actually stop being children and start, like, leading, you know, like, actually, like, putting logical counters to stuff, and stop saying scary foreign entities caused us to lose. No, you lost it yourself. You were bad. You did a bad job. So stop blaming other people and start actually doing your jobs. So we need you to do your job. Please be a counter to the powers that be at the moment. Checks and balances within our government. Do your job. Stop blaming others. Tulsi Gabbard 2020. This is Gunn signing off. And I really want this to be my last like politics show. I really want to like move on to music and fun stuff. And I really want I just want to throw this out to the world. And I just want everybody to listen to it and go, oh, okay, cool. Because that's how the world works, right? Everybody listens to something. Come on. My producer just crushed my dreams. I just wanted an agreement. And she was like, nah, super real times. Real talk, yo. All right, thanks for being honest with me. But still, I want to like move on to music. So music.thepodcast.com, that's where I want to be. I want to stop talking about this, but this had to be said. This was the post-mortem. This is why Donald Trump is coming to town. If we ever want to see change, you got to stop blaming Russia. Because not one voting booth was hacked. It was just Creepypasta Podesta and Hillary's emails. Who else was it? Was it Cheryl Mills? I can't remember who the other one was, but... Yeah, it's not, it was insubstantial. The bad was the bad. Okay. Mouse. Bye-bye.